Saram dear listeners and welcome to Vahini Satsang. I'm Team Radio Sai Bishu and as always with me is Sai Prakash. We were discussing chapter 30 of Prema Vahini in the previous episode. In fact, in the past many episodes, this is the last chapter of Prema Vahini according to English, and in the Telugu version of the book, you have the last chapter split into two chapters. We have had seven sessions of this chapter 30, and today we move on. As I mentioned before, the last chapter, Bhagwan is sharing practical tips. Bhagwan is going down to the basics so that all those concepts that he explained during the 29 chapters preceding, now he's summarizing them, he's cementing them in our minds. So let's listen to what Bhagwan has written in segment 30.8 and then we'll pray to Bhagwan to guide our thoughts.
ప్రతి మానవుడును తన జీవితయాత్రలో ఏ ఒక్క ప్రాణికి క్లేశము కలగకుండునట్లు ప్రవర్తింపవలెను. అదియే వాని పరమధర్మము. అశాశ్వతమైన దేహపోషణకు సమయములు ఏర్పరిచినట్లు దైవ ప్రార్థన జపధ్యానములకు పరోపకార సత్కార్యములకు అనుకూల సమయం ఏర్పరచుకునుట మానవజన్మ ఎత్తిన వారికందరికీ ముఖ్య కర్తవ్యం. సత్యధర్మ శాంతులను జీవనముగా తలంచవలెను. నిప్పు తాకుటకు పామును ముట్టుటకు ఎంత భయపడి దూరము పారిపోవుదురో పాపములను పరుల బాధపెట్టునట్టి కార్యములను చేయవలెనన్న అట్టి భయమే పుట్టవలెను. బంగారము ధనము సౌఖ్యములందు ఎంత ప్రీతియో భగవంతునియందు పరులను ఆనందపెట్టుటయందు సత్కార్యములు చేయుటయందును అంత ప్రీతి శ్రద్ధలు ఉండవలెను. ఇది మానవ సోదరీ సోదరుల సహజ ధర్మము. ఇట్టి సాధుత్వమును బలపరుచుటకే భగవానుడు అవతరించుట. అయితే లేనివాటిని అభివృద్ధిపరచుటెట్లు? ఇట్టి గుణము మానవునిలో లేకపోలేదు. ఉన్నవి క్షీణించుపోవు సమయమున వాటిని బలపరచి వాటికి వ్యతిరిక్తమైన గుణములను క్షీణింపచేయుటకే పరమాత్ముడు అవతరించుచుండును. అట్టి అర్థమును తెలుపగోరియే ద్వాపర యుగమున శ్రీకృష్ణుడు అర్జునునకు పరిత్రాణాయ సాధూనాం వినాశాయ చ దుష్కృతాం ధర్మ సంస్థాపనార్థాయ సంభవామి యుగే యుగే అని బోధించాడు. అనగా భగవత్ అవతారములన్నీయు సాధు సంరక్షణార్థమునకని భావము. ఈ సాధు శబ్దము ఒక్క మతమునకు ఒక్క వర్ణమునకు ఒక్క కులమునకు ఒక్క ఆశ్రమమునకు ఒక్క దేశమునకు ఒక్క మానవునకు సంబంధించినది కాని కాదు. సర్వదేశములకును సర్వమతములకును సర్వ ఆశ్రమములకును సర్వజనులకును మాత్రమే కాక సర్వ ప్రాణికోట్లకు సంబంధించినది. కనుకనే భగవానుడు తన విశాల భావమును గీతయందు కనపరిచినాడు. ఇట్టి ఆశయము గీతకు ఉండుట వల్లనే భగవద్గీతకు ఇంత ప్రాశస్త్యము కలిగినది. అసలు కృష్ణుడే ఎన్నో పర్యాయములు నేను పరమభక్తునికి పెద్ద సేవకుడను అని తెలియపరచినాడు. దీనికి తార్కాణము అర్జునునకు సారథి అయి ఉండినదే చాలు. ఇట్లు మానవుల సహజ సంస్కారమే ప్రకటించుచుండా ఇంతకంటెనూ అతీతమైన సాధనా బ్రహ్మనిష్ఠులైన వారి సహజ లక్షణములు ఇంకెంతటి పవిత్రములై ఉండవలెనో ఎవరికి వారు యోచించుకొనా తెలియను. ఆ ఇద్దరికి గుణమే ప్రధానం.
ఎవ్రీ పర్సన్ షుడ్ సో లీడ్ దేర్ లైఫ్ దాట్ వన్ కాసెస్ నో పెయిన్ టు ఎనీ లివింగ్ బీయింగ్. దాట్ ఈస్ వన్ సుప్రీం డ్యూటీ. జస్ట్ లైక్ వన్ స్పెండ్స్ టైమ్ ఇన్ ద డైలీ అప్ కీప్ ఆఫ్ వన్స్ బాడీ, it is the prime duty of everyone to earmark suitable time for prayer, repetition of Lord's name, meditation, and to do service to others. One should think of truth, righteousness, and peace as one's own very life. Just as one would run away from a cobra or would dread to touch fire, one should be scared of doing any act that is sinful or is harmful to others. The way gold, riches, and comforts are dear to man, in the same way, one should have deep and steadfast interest in loving God, in doing good acts, and in making others happy. This is the natural characteristic of universal brotherhood. God descends as avatar only to strengthen this pious nature of man. But the question may arise, how can a non-existent thing be strengthened and developed? Indeed, these qualities are not non-existent. They are there in man. When these existing qualities weaken and wither, the Lord comes with the purpose of promoting them and bringing about the decline of the opposing forces. It is to make clear this purpose that in the Dwapara Yuga, Sri Krishna, while teaching Arjuna, said,
Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge.
Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. That is to say, all incarnations of the Lord are for the protection and promotion of sadhus or noble souls. This word sadhu does not refer to any single religion, color, caste, stage of life, country, or even to only human beings. It refers to all religions, all stages of life, all races, and all creatures. That is why the Lord has revealed in the Gita His expansive ideology. It is because of this universal message that the Gita has attained such importance. Sri Krishna Himself has declared on numerous occasions that He is the dutiful servant of His devotees. The fitting example of this is His accepting to be the charioteer of Arjuna. If this is what an ordinary man with normal qualities can engender, one can imagine how much more purified and noble will be the nature of those who are engaged in spiritual practices and in the incessant contemplation of the Lord. For both these types of people, character is most important.
So, that is the 30th chapter of Prema Vahini, and here you have Bhagwan stressing on how one should spend time daily on upkeep of one's spiritual tendencies. Swami says you spend so much time maintaining your body, what happens to the spiritual side of your personality? You have to give time for prayer, namasmarana, dhyana and seva. In fact, I was reminded of one anecdote narrated by Miss Rani Subramanyam, okay, the yesteryear's devotee.
Mm-hmm.
So many years ago in the early days, Prashant Nilayam, Bhagwan suddenly summoned her to his presence. And it was 7 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And the Swami said, you be seated here. And she was also a little perturbed. So early in the morning, Swami is calling her. Mm-hmm. And it was a little unusual. And she was wondering if she had done anything wrong, or you know, she was nervous. Then Swami looked at her very lovingly and said, I have to tell you something about a gentleman who is a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And so she thought, why does Swami want to tell me about a businessman?
Yeah.
And then Swami, she just kept quiet. And then Swami said, see, this businessman came to me. I gave him an interview. He told me that he has a lot of business problems and he was undergoing a lot of stress. So I told him I'll give him some spiritual practices to follow. And he should do that for some time. And after that he should see me. And Swami said, so this fellow came after a few weeks. And again I called him for an interview.
Mm-hmm.
And I inquired about the status of his business problems now.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said, I asked him, so it must be less now, isn't it, your problems? He said, no, Swami, it is still the same. Then Swami asked, no, it cannot be. Did you do what I asked you to do? Because Swami had given very specific instructions, you know, what you should do in the morning, what you should do in the evening. And then the man said, Swami, what can I say? Really caught up with so many problems. No time to really do what you had advised.
Mm-hmm.
Then Swami says to Ranima, I told him, I understand you were busy and you could not find time to do all the spiritual practices.
Mm.
But tell me this, because of your hectic schedule, did you give up your morning coffee? And he said, no, Swami. Okay, what about your breakfast?
Mm.
Did you ignore it? Even on the days when you were too occupied, no time for anything. Did you, say, okay, today I'll skip breakfast, I will have it later. He said, no, Swami, breakfast I will have every day.
Most important.
Most important thing in the morning. I said, okay, what about your lunch, evening tea, dinner? Anything you left out in day, any of the days? He said, no, Swami. And Swami said, see, for the sharira ahara, food for the body, you have 5 sessions.
Correct.
For food for your body. Coffee, breakfast, lunch, tea, dinner. And this is for the body which you are going to drop one day.
Mm.
But your atma is your true self. And that is your true nature. And that is what is really going to bless you. And that is what is going to keep you peaceful and happy. Atma alone can give you peace. Body will never give you peace. But you couldn't make time, even one session for the atma. And yet you want my grace. How can I grant you grace? Swami says. And then Bhagavan goes on to explain to Ranima. Atma ahara, mm-hmm. food for the spirit, is more important than sharira ahara, food for the body. Swami says, you may give up food for the body, but never stop the food for the spirit. Mm. Unless you feed the atma, it will not awaken. That is your spirit. You have to awaken it. And Swami says, God will not be available for you if you are only feeding the body all the time while your atma is starving. And Swami says, I told the businessman, you have given priority to nourish the body, but you have neglected the soul. How can I help you? When you don't follow my instruction, your atma will starve. If you want my help, you have to do what I tell you. That should be your priority. Yeah. Swami says, people want my grace, but they don't want to obey my instructions. You should give priority to my advice, not to what you want to do. Only then blessings will reach you. And of course, when Swami narrated all that to Ranima, then she sort of understood that indirectly.
Swami is telling her.
Swami is communicating to her, how she should be steadfast in her sadhana. I mean, this is a common experience for all of us, isn't it? You know, we have these, we decide that this is what we will do in the morning. And, 2-3 days we do it, and 5th day we do it, 6th day somehow we do it, and 7th day, today there's a lot of work. This thing can be skipped.
Skip, pass.
Yeah.
And all that.
But breakfast will never be skipped. So, I think that is what Bhagavan is very clearly telling here, that you have to be steadfast in whatever before, spiritual practices.
Before he came to this, the starting
yes.
of the paragraph,
don't cause pain.
Very, very beautiful line.
Absolutely.
He says, every man should so lead his life that no pain is caused by him to any living thing.
Any living being, yes.
Any living thing. So, yes. Any living being. So now, this is very interesting because so it opens up, a whole world of, what we do and how we cause harm to a living being and, even as far as vegetarianism, non-vegetarianism,
yes.
Everything gets included
yes.
in this one line. And I don't know if you remember during our Kodai trip,
yes.
This is one incident which happened.
Mm.
It was, I think, one of the early, first few days of us going to Kodai in the year 1999.
Mm.
So, both of us were there
yes.
and Swami came out from his room in the morning.
Mm.
And I remember that very clearly because I was sitting there near the person whom Swami told. Suddenly Swami pointed to a lizard on the wall. And Swami said, Balli, Balli, chudandi, small lizard, lizard. Adi petteyandi, adi with that draw one line. What is that called? What is that called? He was asking. So we are looking, what is Swami telling? And Swami said, you know, that thing comes one stick. Lakshman Rekha. So Swami said, if you put Lakshman Rekha, it will go off. And then Swami said, chi, 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 chi. You should not do that.
Oh, Swami said.
Yes. Swami said, see, it is there. What harm it is causing to you?
Yes.
That lizard is there. What harm is it causing you? And you know, in my room, these cooks, they came and they put this Lakshman Rekha everywhere. And then I saw one cockroach going there and struggling. With so much of pain and empathy, Swami was telling. He saw, then I told them, come and rub off all that Lakshman Rekha. I don't want any Lakshman Rekha in my
room. For listeners who are not familiar with this product, Lakshman Rekha is a product to keep
like
away
insect repellent. It's like an insect repellent, which comes
and,
like a chalk.
On a lighter note, you know, this has become so popular that in the current generation, you ask them what is Lakshman Rekha, they think of this insect repellent.
Not the original.
Not the original Lakshman Rekha, which was to prevent Ravana from coming into the hut of Mother Sita.
See, in fact, this one line, I was thinking, when you think about it, there is so much to it. And Swami often says that Satyam Bruyat, Priyam Bruyat, Nab Bruyat, Satyam Apriyam. So, he says, Satyam Bruyat, that is Adi Bhautika. That is how you should lead an ideal life in this world, related to worldly matters. Speak the truth. So he says Adi Bhautika. Then Priyam Bruyat, that is Adi Daivika. So when you are in the spiritual, when you are interested in leading a spiritual life, when you are inclined towards that, when you are in love with the Lord, then you start speaking sweetly. But the highest form of this, Nabruyat Satyam Apriyam.
Yes.
And he says that is Adhyatmika.
Yes.
The highest level of spiritual practice is Nabruyat Satyam Apriyam. So that means don't utter the truth which is not
pleasant.
Yes. Which is not pleasant. So,
I mean, if you see, the crux of the whole thing is don't hurt, don't cause pain.
Exactly. And that is what Swami told, I think, even in the previous, once you are always happy and spreading that happiness.
Yes.
That itself is enough.
Enough.
Beyond bhakti marga, karma marga, anything. So don't cause harm to any living thing or being. There's that other beautiful incident where Swami is coming out for darshan from Vrindavan. And Swami is walking and moving, and suddenly Swami stops just before he comes out of the Trai gates.
Yes.
And then somebody was wondering what happened. Swami was looking down for a long time, and then they saw a row of ants going. And Swami told,
yes,
I am careful not to step on them.
Yes.
But the people following me, they might not be careful.
Yes.
That
Swami stood there.
Swami stood there, and
it was their, I think somebody said it was their lunch time or something.
So Swami was actually standing there and seeing this row of ants going. So he says, when you don't hurt any living being, I think there's so much that comes to mind with this.
Because
concept.
Swami's life was always about that.
Exactly.
When right from the any number of instances of him taking over the illnesses of people, to
even as a child, I mean, you know, those shoulder marks of carrying water and everything.
And Swami not revealing.
When
Mother Isharama asks about it also, he does not want to say what he went through, because, you know, why to hurt the feelings of
family? That Gauravam,
yes,
we should keep up the name on respect of the family.
Yes.
And why should I talk ill against my brother and sister-in-law?
Yeah.
So,
wow. And I think, I mean, this is an endless topic. And I think every day when we retire, just before we sleep, perhaps it would be a good practice to just think through the day and see if knowingly or unknowingly, you know, I have caused pain to anyone. Of course, unknowingly, though, you'll never know, but at least to analyze
vihitam avihitam
vihitam avihitam the night prayer. Yes,
so here then when you go further down, Swami says apart from this you should also give time for meditation,
yes,
chanting, that is your duty.
Duty, yes.
Duty as a human being is to spend, yes, time doing this. And then he says, just as you are afraid of a cobra or fire,
yes,
you should be afraid of doing harmful deeds to others.
Yes.
Just as you will not touch the fire, you will not touch the cobra,
yes,
you should not cause harm to others. And then he should say, then he also says you should have that much attachment and steadfastness to doing good works and making others happy. It's like worshipping the Lord.
Hmm.
And he says, and in worship, it's like, you know, accumulating gold and riches. Like,
I mean, with what interest you accumulate?
Interest, exactly.
Yes, gold and riches. I mean, the sadhana, or the true dhana,
the
true
riches. That interest with which you accumulate the riches,
yes,
this is another interesting thing. Because when Dr. John Hislop asked Swami, Swami, we know you have spoken all these things, we have understood, am I a realized person? And Swami says, no, you are not. He says, Swami, why? Then he says, why we are not able to realize ourselves? Why we are not able to push ourselves? Then Swami says, it's all based on interest.
Hmm.
How do you go about doing anything? Depending on how much interest you have in it, that is how much you will get the rewards. So, then Swami goes to this portion, that why the Lord descends as an avatar.
Yes.
So he says, these good qualities, when the practice of these good qualities comes down, when they start declining, that is when the Lord comes down in a human form. And, you know, he brings back, fosters the following of these qualities.
Mm.
And in this context, there is a discourse I would like to draw attention to, which Swami gave in 1974.
Mm.
And the title of the discourse itself is, Who is Satya Sai?
Mm.
Who is Sri Satya Sai Baba? Whatever, I think that is the title. That discourse, Swami reveals his true nature. And there are several segments in that discourse which are very, very, very powerful. And dear listeners, you should take the time to read that discourse again and again and again. Because the more you read it, I read it 5 times today. And every time I read that discourse, I found something very beautiful in it.
Wow.
Very, very beautiful in it. You know, there is a very subtle connection between what Swami is talking in the first part of the paragraph and how what Swami is talking in the second part of the paragraph. Swami is saying that you should not hurt anybody, you should not harm anybody, you should develop righteousness, you should develop satya, dharma and good qualities.
Yes.
And in the second part, Swami says, to foster the following of these qualities, God descends.
Yes.
In this discourse, Swami makes a very beautiful point. Of course, there he's also saying that, you know, you should not be carried away by these miracles. I'm very saddened by the fact that even people who consider themselves very knowledgeable and this and that, they're looking only at the miracles. They're not understanding what I have come to give, that is prema. In the course of that, he makes a very interesting point. So he says that my will, once I have got the sankalpa, once I have got the sankalpa, nothing can stop it. No one can stop.
Vajra sankalpa.
Vajra sankalpa. He said, once I have made a sankalpa, nothing can stop it. But I decide when to make a will.
Mm.
And that will is influenced. It comes about based on the behavior of the devotees.
Oh.
See, that point I found was very, very, very subtle and very powerful.
He will do it only for the devotees.
Only for the devotees, and whatever sankalpa is making, he says that is based on the behavior of the devotees and the, you know, how the devotees are responding, so what they're doing. So in that discourse, there are several such very, very subtle points where Swami is, you know, bringing out the purpose of avatar, why he has come. And the whole discourse starts with this very, very intriguing poem. And dear listeners, we thought we should play this poem to all of you, because I have really not heard this poem again, where Swami is describing himself And so beautifully, so sweetly, let us listen to Swami himself.
చిహ్నాలు కలక గుర్తులు దీపు కులమత చిహ్నాలు కలక గుర్తులు దీపు తిలకమేమీ లేని కిలకమేము కనిపించి కనిపించకయు కనిపించి కనిపించకయు పాదములు దాచు బహువనేల పట్టురులు తొంగి కనిపించి కనిపించకయు పాదములు దాచు బహువనేల పట్టునులు తొంగి నైజ శృంగారం ఆటలు పాటలు చూపు నైజ శృంగారం పాట పాటలు చూపు శివశక్తి ఏ ఈతడనీరు జుట్టు బొట్టు కట్టు పుట్టుక ఎల్లము జుట్టు బొట్టు కట్టు పుట్టుకలన్నిట గట్టిని కన్నుల చిప్పట్టుదుంచు చిట్టి సత్య సాయి చిట్టి సత్య సాయి చిన్మయ మన్మతు ఇతని గుట్టెరుంగ ఎవరి తరము ఇతని గుట్టెరుంగ ఎవరి తరము ఇతని గుట్టెరుంగ ఎవరి తరము
గివింగ్ ఎ ఫీలింగ్ గివింగ్ ద అపియరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎ షాబీ పర్సన్ హ్యావింగ్ ఎ బాస్కెట్ లైక్ హెయిర్ ఆన్ హిస్ హెడ్ అండ్ హ్యావింగ్ నో సింప్టమ్స్ విచ్ ఇండికేట్ ఎనీ పర్టిక్యులర్ రిలిజన్ ఆర్ ఎనీ పర్టిక్యులర్ మత ఆర్ ఎనీ పర్టిక్యులర్ సెక్ట్ and appearing with no particular mark indicative on his face of any particular caste or religion. He appears to you sometimes. He does not also appear sometimes. He vanishes and he comes in your presence. He wears a cloak, a robe, which comes right up to his feet. Sometimes it covers the feet, sometimes it does not cover the feet. It is a long robe through which sometimes you can see his feet and sometimes you cannot see. It is inherent beauty that is obvious in his playing and in his singing. This relates, this is what is the Shiva Shakti. This Shiva Shakti is what is contained in him. Neither his hair nor any particular mark which is a caste mark nor the kind of wear he robes. Does it give any indication of the reason for his birth? All these things describe the young Chitti Satyasai. He smiles always, and in him you will find it is impossible for you by looking at these symptoms and by these external appearances. How is it possible for anyone to know the secret of this Satyasai who goes under this description?
How beautiful, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Swami is describing himself and that whole discourse is full of such revelations and where he says that, what is the purpose? Why I have come? I have come to instill the knowledge of Brahman in all of you. to bring about unity in the humanity in Brahman, not in anything else. And you should not, get deluded by this form. And then here also in this paragraph, Swami says, paritranaya sadhunam, it is to protect the sadhus.
Yes.
But that sadhu has no religion.
Yes.
He says it doesn't belong to any particular religion, caste, family or stage of life or community.
Or even human beings, Swami says. Actually.
Yes.
Sadhu is not only human beings. That's something, again, very pertinent. Yes, Brother Giridhar, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. So we had a wonderful session with Rajasthan youth who have come on Parthiyatra to Shantinilayam.
Yes.
Of course, now leading on to the topic that is being discussed, in one discourse, Swami says that the beautiful form that the avatar takes is the concretization of the penance of true devotees over ages.
Mm.
Like devotees pine for the Lord to take avatar.
Yes.
Again and again, again and again. And that prayer and the penance of the devotees, takes the shape
of
the unique form of the avatar. Mm. In fact, even when Swami materialized the ring of Premasai, it was not complete, and Swami had said that it is still under manufacture, and it's going.
Yes.
With time, it will reveal itself because of the devotees and with the prayers, the pining of the devotees, the Lord is actually manufacturing the form according to the love and the the desire of the devotees.
Mm.
So from top to toe, what that really to me signifies is that from the tip of his toe to the last strand of hair on his head, he has come for the sake of the devotees. Paritranaya sadhunam, and of course Swami here says that I don't refer only to human beings.
Yes.
And he showed it in his life,
Yes.
We know the stories where Swami, stretches his hand with peanuts in it and monkeys form a line and come and take one peanut per head go, which is all unbelievable. How is it possible?
Mm.
It is that cosmic unity or love that Swami himself is, draws the whole creation to him. As Swami would often say, I have not sent any invitation to anybody, but the whole world simply comes to him because they find their oneness and something that is the substance and the core of themselves in Swami. That love that Swami is, attracts every single being, whether it's an ant, whether it is a buffalo. We know the story of, where Swami expresses
Horsley
gratitude.
Hills.
In Horsley Hills, he expresses gratitude to the buffalo for carrying. Means, what is this love? How can anybody fathom the avatar? It's impossible for us to comprehend.
Mm.
And one other point which Brother Sai Prakash was mentioning, and a senior devotee actually shared this with us. He said that Swami never had any desire of his own. In fact, all the marvelous models that he manifested in the form of the hospitals, the water projects, the various other projects that have rejuvenated, brought back life into the people, they were all prayers of devotees. When a devotee who sincerely practices Swami's teachings and selflessly prays to Swami, Swami decided to answer those prayers, and that's how these marvelous models have come up. So it is really in the devotee's hands, as Brother was mentioning, we have the ability, because Swami in fact had told that I am pining for the love of my devotees. Can you imagine that?
Yes.
Another point, just to add to what you are saying, we are talking about the institutions and the, Swami set up the institutions and buildings and, departments in the college, etc., for the sake of his devotees. But there is another aspect of Swami which was, revealed to me by Mr. Ramani sir from Chennai. So he says, if you have had the opportunity to live in physical proximity with Swami, like how students get a chance when they are with Swami in Kodaikanal or in Ooty or any of those places, different places. He says, if you keenly observe Swami, unless somebody invites him to a food session, he is not even going to talk about it. That was such a subtle point. He said that, Swami is there. He is just doing for humanity. He is continuously doing. he is spending time, he is giving himself, he is giving his energy, he is giving his grace, that to that extent that, you know, he is not even conscious that it's food time, he has to eat. Yes. And so somebody has to come and say, Swami, food is ready, lunch is ready, please come. Then Swami, chalo, let's go.
Yes. Is he so unmindful of his physical
absolutely,
needs?
Absolutely.
And all the time thinking about the devotees and
exactly.
And the
even when he eats, it would be just
it's just a namesake.
Namesake, you know, one yeah. or two pieces of the ragi roti yeah. he would take.
In fact, I remember an episode in Chennai where Swami took a piece of chapati from his plate. Yes. It was so small, maybe the entire diameter of the chapati would have been some 3.5-4 inches, that's it. You know, and he showed that and see how much I eat and see how you all eat. We were all like bakasuras, you know, filling our plates with so much food, and he would show, see, this much only Swami takes. So little, and but there was a lesson in that, you know. Swami always said that we should do justice to the food that we consume. That is, in terms of utilizing this body to serve others. So he says, how much food you intake from this nature, you must do so much more work to, you know, do justice to that by serving the society and the nature.
Yes.
And imagine Swami, to show that example, would eat so little, but how much he would do throughout his day. All the time working and serving, you know.
Yeah.
It's a great example for all devotees.
That's exactly what Swami is telling here.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying Sri Krishna himself declared that he is the dutiful servant of his devotees.
Mm.
Yes.
And he says, as a proof of that, he agreed to become the charioteer of Arjuna.
How wonderful. Wonderful.
And in fact, we know how when Krishna was the charioteer, and in those days, apparently to show directions to the charioteer, the person in the chariot places his foot next to the head.
Forehead
of the charioteer. I mean, that is how...
Yeah, he has to kick him to show which direction
the temples on the side.
Yes,
on the sides.
Yes. I mean, so... I mean,
in fact, Swami used to say that there used to be marks. There was a mark left on Krishna's forehead, yes. That is on the temples, after the Kurukshetra war, because Arjuna would constantly kick the two sides. Can you imagine the Lord taking up that kind of a role?
He's okay for anything. I'm reminded of how when Prashanti Nilayam was constructed way back in 1950, you know, there are pictures, you know, Swami, he's tied a towel on his head and another towel on his waist, and, you know, he was doing practically everything. I mean, end of the day, you know, he would give money to the laborers, you know, sign, and so he has to do HR. And when it was such a huge challenge in those days, because, you know, we are talking about 1950, India just got independence and absolutely zero facilities. So when there were plans were drawn, there were no resources. When resources were there, logistics was a problem. So Swami had to keep motivating people for, you know, those 2 years to, you know, work. And he has to lead from the front and work. I mean, you go up the ladder. And when Prashanthi Nilayam also was inaugurated, even on that day, no plastering of the walls was there. It was just the brick walls. You know, somehow it was done.
The stone walls.
The stone walls, yeah. The stone walls. I mean, so I always think this, you know, when Swami, whatever Swami has asked us to do, you know, he has really, really done that.
Totally, yes.
There is nothing that he has asked us to beat, ceiling on desires, beat a discipline, discipline life, beat singing bhajans, anything he has asked us to do.
He himself has done
it. He himself has done it all his life.
In fact, again, this reminds me, brother, of one more session in Kodai where, you know, Swami was telling us students that whatever be our nature of work, we should always be alone with God inside. You know, you do the best of your, with the best of your ability, you do your work. If somebody needs help, you render that help. But you must always be alone inside with God.
Yes.
So when Swami was telling this, one of the students told Swami, Swami, but that is very difficult, Swami. We stay in hostel, there are 500 students around us.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to be like that. Swami said, Enduku, nen untunan kada? Why? I am there, no? I go for darshan, thousands of people fall at my feet, thousands of ladies and gents express their problems and everything to me. Nen eppudu naalone okkadiga unnane, he said. I am always alone within myself. You can also be. So the student immediately reacted and said, Swami, you are God, you are divinity, and hence you can be, how can we be? You know, Swami visibly got upset, and then Swami said, no, that is not true. I have taken a human form and I live every moment of life just like any other human to set an example for you to show that it is humanly possible to be like this. I have not used divine power. His divine power was, he just took one sankalpa and all the multiverses manifested in one shot. That is divine power.
Yes.
This Swami is telling that in this avatar I am living like a human being. And I have done every single thing that I'm asking you to do, including this, that is to remain in yourself while you are in the multitudes and vicissitudes of life. So Swami is really like that.
Yes.
And in fact, in one of those sessions only, he said, he was asking about all the great sages, contemporary sages of Himalayas. He asked somebody, do you know Shivananda? Do you know Purushottamananda? And that devotee very beautifully said, Swami, enakku onnum theriyadhu Swami, neenga ottar dhaan theriyum, I don't know anybody Swami, I know only you. Swami said, idu okkati telusukunte chalu. Like brother said, the avatar has come to unite all of us in that one. So Swami told this, he said, idu okkati nenu okkati telusukunte chalu, ekoham bahusyam, he said. These were the words of Swami, ekoham bahusyam. The Lord himself declaring that I am the one who has become many by my will. So if you know me, that is enough. Know me means here, of course, as we discussed, we can never understand God. Know, as Swami says, is to become one with him, completely surrender to him. But that is the sweet Lord.
That, you know, when Swami says, Paritranaya Sadhuram Sambhavam, and when he, certain moments when he declares that, I am the cause, I am the source of this entire creation. Brother Sonam was narrating that beautiful incident when they were driving to Madras at that time. And he was feeling a little bit nausea because he was sitting in the front seat in Swami's car. And he was constantly turning back because Swami was sitting behind. So he was constantly turning back and trying to see Swami and listen to Swami as Swami was talking. A few others were in the back seat. So he was feeling a little bit nausea. Then Swami said, so how are you? Said, Swami, little bit headache. Then Swami materialized a fruit. Swami materialized a fruit. I'm not remembering exactly which. I think it's an orange or some fruit. And which was supposed to have seeds. But it was seedless.
Okay.
And so he opened that. Swami said, eat it. So then he opened that, took out the peel, and he was having the peel in his hand. Swami said, why are you, Swami, you materialized this fruit? So Swami said, hey, Pichi, everything I materialized, then throw it out. Then Swami said, how is it? He said, Swami is very sweet. Swami, I don't find any seeds in it. It is seedless. Swami said, hey, Pichi, Bijam Mam Sarva Bhutanam. The seed is here. I am the seed.
Wow.
What are you finding that seed in that fruit?
Wow.
He said, I am the seed. The seed is here. I am the seed for this creation.
Wow.
What, you won't find it in that fruit.
He just wanted to give him only sweetness.
Sweetness. Bija mam sarva bhutanam. So that was the beautiful
Really lesson. Amazing anecdote, amazing revelations. In fact, I'm reminded of another incident concerning the Lord coming down as avatar. Apparently in 1984, when Bhagwan was giving that series of discourses
Bhagavad Gita.
On Bhagavad Gita and in the bhajan hall. And so every afternoon students would rush to the mandir for their classes, after their classes. And of course there will be a talk and then Swami's discourse. And Swami was constantly talking about Krishna's messages. And in fact all the students learnt the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. During
the Bhakti Yoga
during that period. And it was during this time that one faculty member had a doubt. Is there something wrong or have we not understood what Krishna has said? Because in the Gita, Krishna says, when there is a decline of dharma, the Lord comes down as an avatar to restore righteousness. And he says that dharma has only declined further after every avatar.
Correct.
So after Rama's advent in the Treta Yuga, dharma diminished. And then you had the coming of Krishna in the Dwapar Yuga. Similarly, after the departure of Krishna came Kali Yuga and dharma has now degraded even more.
So, in a way, if you see, Krishna has failed at every instance. When we are saying that, you know, he's come for the restoration of dharma. And so he actually just discussed this with some other faculty members in the morning in the institute, actually. No one could actually give him any satisfactory answer. And that evening, when the session in the bhajan hall started, as usual, after the initial talk, Swami rose to speak. And so Swami started off explaining the chapters of the Bhagavad Gita as he was doing in those days. But suddenly Swami stopped. And halfway into the session, even as all were absorbed in understanding the Bhakti Yoga, suddenly Swami changed track and Swami said, "People think Krishna promised he would uplift dharma, but every time he came and left, there was only a decline of righteousness." And Swami said, "This has to be understood correctly." And of course, that faculty member was stunned. A ton of bricks had hit him, actually. And then Bhagwan went on, "What is the dharma that Krishna is referring to in the Gita? That you should understand. There are two kinds of dharma, Deha dharma and Atma dharma." Swami says, "Deha dharma is at the level of the body. And this functions as per the cycle of time. So it grows and decays just like every body goes through that process. God is not concerned about Deha Dharma." Swami says, "The most important thing is Atma Dharma." And what is Atma Dharma? Swami says, "Atma Dharma is Prema Dharma."
Mm.
Atma Dharma is Prema Dharma. It is that relationship between the Jivatma and the Paramatma, the individual soul and the Supreme Soul. When that decays, then God comes down to revive and restore. And Swami says, it is because Krishna descended in a human form that we had Gopikas, we had Meera, we had Surdas, we had so many Purandaradas, so many devotees. It is because Rama came in a human vesture that you had hundreds of devoted people of Ayodhya, you had monkeys, you had Hanuman, you had later on Tulasidas and any number of devotees.
Tyagaraja.
Yes, Tyagaraja emerged because Rama came down and lived like a man on earth. Swami said, so Avatar's mission in every instance is only to restore this link of man with God. And I feel this is what Swami is telling here. You know, when the Avatar comes, it is only to increase the sadhutva in every person. And here you have Bhagwan directly. And when you look at Satya Sai Avatar, that's what it is, isn't it? You know, so many. I don't think all of us, even three of us would be sitting and discussing about all this at the age we are in. But for Bhagwan.
Totally. Without his grace and Swami's incessant efforts, we must say.
Yes, absolutely.
Because
and Himalayan patience.
Himalayan patience, definitely. And Swami would always, you know, cite what Krishna had said. There are three types of devotees. One is like the stone in the river, you know. For thousands of years, literally, the water may flow over the stone. But if you take the stone out of the water and break it, it will still be dry inside. You know, that is one type. The other type is like the sponge, where you put it into the water and take it out. It definitely contains the water, but if you squeeze it or if you leave it to dry, the water will evaporate and it will become dry again. But Krishna said the best type of devotee that he prepares, that is, he works hard in molding, is that like a sugar candy. You know, you take the sugar candy and throw it into the water, take the sugar crystals and throw it into the water, it becomes one with the water. It lends sweetness, it becomes the water itself, and it's inseparable.
Yes.
So Swami, like you said, with Himalayan patience, has been constantly working on each and every one of us to make us like sugar. One that which is sweet, another that becomes one with the dravya, which is the Lord Himself.
Yes.
You know?
Wow.
In this 1974 discourse that Swami was mentioning, so he goes on to say that, you know, when people come and tell you that they got a locket or they got a ring from me, don't speak to such people. Don't give any importance to those things.
Wow.
Because those are my visiting cards, and those are protection. talismans for protection. And that I've given to different people. But he says, what is most unique, what you should strive for, is to get that prema from me.
Mm.
And he said, do not talk of my miracles, but talk of the prema which you can get from me by your conduct. He says, by your conduct, you can get this prema from me. That is what is most important, and you must make an attempt to get it. When there is an invaluable diamond in me, you must try and acquire that. What is the meaning in you wanting to acquire smaller things?
Hmm.
You must not go away from the invaluable treasure. You must be close to it as close to it as possible. It is necessary for you to take it and treasure it. So he says, what is the greatest part of me? What is it that I have come to give? That is that prema. And he's saying, once you have that prema, once you are in sync with that prema, you have me. That's what he...
Beautiful. And that's what Swami is telling here. No? Atma dharma is prema dharma. I mean, there's no better definition of God than love. And one other thought also that Bhagavan refers to here is... Swami is saying, yes, Krishna is the dutiful servant of his devotees, and the fitting example of this is his accepting to be the charioteer of Arjuna. And then Swami says, if this is what an ordinary man with normal qualities can engender, one can imagine how much more purified and noble will be the nature of those who are engaged in spiritual practices and the incessant contemplation of the Lord.
Right.
I mean, Swami is telling, of course, here Swami is saying Arjuna to be a normal person. In that way, Swami is comparing Arjuna here to be a normal person. At least that is what we could try, when we try to understand what Swami has said, we don't know what actually is the import, but when you translate, you're not able to really figure out any other explanation.
Mm.
But I was just thinking, probably Swami is saying that if you look at the kind of doubts that Arjuna was having all through, and Krishna was constantly clarifying, so in some ways he was having those doubts of an ordinary man, even though you know the divine was there right in front, he was constantly having those doubts. And and so here Swami is telling that if you don't have those doubts, then imagine what heights you can reach.
It,
I mean, a man with so many doubts also was able to receive such stupendous grace from the divine. I mean, he had Vishwarupa Darshan, Lord became a charioteer and everything. Even though there were a lot of deficiencies and, you know, weaknesses in him. Now, suppose you don't have those doubts. Suppose you are insistent in your sadhana.
Extremely pure.
Extremely pure. Suppose your focus is undivided on the Lord. Then you cannot even imagine where you will reach. I think that is
like something. The starting of this paragraph, when Swami says, you know, take time to do namasmarana and meditate, and
yes. So don't compromise.
Compromise on that.
Yes.
Continue doing that.
Yes.
And you know, that is the duty of man. That is
absolutely
the duty that you have. Sacred duty you have.
And that is one supreme duty, Swami says.
Supreme
not
duty.
To harm others and to follow this sadhana.
In fact,
again,
one analogy which a very interesting, you know, analogy which Swami gives. He says, when the hand picks up something,
yes,
you know, suppose it is dirty, it is greasy. That grease sticks to your hand. Okay. So, when something touches your body, it sticks to your body. So, you know, in any other part of the body, it becomes greasy, it becomes dirty. Except when something sticky is put on the tongue.
Yes.
He says the tongue never gets greasy.
Yes.
The tongue always remains what it is.
Mm.
In spite of what ever you put on it,
you put into the mouth,
it remains what it is.
Yes.
So Swami says, therefore, the tongue is eligible to chant the name of the Lord.
Wow.
Excellent.
He says, therefore, the tongue is, because it is not affected by anything of the world.
It reminds me
nothing remains on it.
It reminds me of the lotus.
Yeah, exactly.
And there is another analogy, very, very similar analogy which Swami gives. If we consider all the work that we do during the day, you know, the duties that we do, whatever we do for our family and friends and the society, like an activity which is, you know, taking or opening up a jackfruit, right? So inside it's very sticky.
Right. Mm.
So Swami says that if you put your hand into a jackfruit and open it, your hand will get all sticky and you won't be able to do your job properly.
Correct.
Which is, you know, segregating the fruit,
yes,
which can be nourished and which can be, yes, good nourishment,
yes,
and you can enjoy it later, right? Now, so all the worldly duties and activities are like the jackfruit. Right? If we go with dry hands and put our hand into the jackfruit and try to remove the fruit and, yes, enjoy it, it will be unsuccessful or inefficient.
Yes.
So what a professional does...
It will become messy.
It will become messy, you know. So what a devotee does is, like the professional,
yes,
he oils his hand first and,
yes,
then he opens up the jackfruit and, you know, segregates the fruit, which then becomes a delicious, nutritious,
yes,
input in one's life.
Mm.
In the same way, this daily sadhana is like oiling the hands.
Mm.
That is, once we do daily sadhana, it is very, very important. Yes, we convert work into worship.
Yes.
We do all our daily duties diligently. There's no doubt.
Yes.
But at least a 25 minute or a half an hour in a day, yes, must be dedicated only to God. That is like oiling the hands.
Yes.
And after you oil the hands, you are ready for the day's work.
Mm.
You know, and you do with diligence and sincerity the day's work, then you really get to enjoy the fulfillment and the fruition of all the activities that you are engaged with the attitude, of course, of work is worship.
Hmm.
So this daily sadhana is very, very important for another reason, that it always keeps you anchored to what is the final goal of life.
Yes.
Like the work into worship also helps us in fulfilling dharma artha, that is, among the four purusharthas,
yes,
the four cardinal purpose of human life, which is dharma, artha, kama, moksha, Swami says dharma and artha should combine and kama and moksha should combine.
Yes.
That is the ideal way of human life. Dharma artha means the wealth must be earned in a dharmic way.
Yes.
Kama moksha means one must desire only for liberation in the human life,
yes,
to come out of the cycle of birth and death.
Yes.
So this can be fulfilled or this can be realized only if this daily sadhana is consistent and constant, and that serves as a direct reminder that we are all here, as Kasturiji says, in Loving God. I always refer to this, the second line in his introductory paragraph.
Correct.
He says, Swami says, we are born so that we are not born again.
Mm. Beautiful. Amazing. In fact, if you look at Bhagwan's life also, again, you know, daily coming for darshan, everything was like a routine. You know, daily bhajans, I mean, right from 1940s, daily bhajans, daily darshan. And I think this is something, though initially it might be a little difficult, but I think once someone gets into the groove, it will just become so much a part of you that that will become your powerhouse, actually, which will keep you powered all through the day. If you just do those half an hour, for example, you know, when we are doing these, say, Gayatri video interviews, you know, I had the chance to talk with one of the students who is a PhD student, but, you know, whatever may happen, every morning he does his 108 times Gayatri. And, you know, I said, you know, do you sometimes feel that, you know, you're losing time? And he said, no, this is an investment. So he said, this is investment. So you don't know in what ways it will reap you benefits. So I think this is something that all of us, if we say that we are on the path towards God, should earmark that dedicated time for sadhana. In fact, elsewhere in Premavaini, Swami says that if you are a human being, you should be doing one sadhana or the other. At least one sadhana you should be doing. And I think, as you said, unless we do that, you know, we will, going through the rigmarole of life, we will lose sight of our goal. And this is very important. Thank you so much, Brother Giridhar. So, dear listeners, well, there is so much to discuss in this few lines of Premavaini in this chapter 30. We can never ever do justice to everything that Swami has written, but just a few thoughts, and it is for all of us to ruminate on these
eternal words of Bhagwan. So do open Premavaini and spend your time, you know, every morning. Even if you are not doing anything, you can do even, this is a sadhana. Swadhyaya also is a sadhana. Every morning just to read Sai literature, that is also a beautiful sadhana. And ruminate about it throughout the day. So we'll continue this discussion in the coming episodes of Premavaini. Thank you so much for being with us. If you have any queries or comments, as always, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. We also have a WhatsApp number now. If you want to send your feedback, you can send your messages to 9393258258. Let me repeat that. 9393258258. Thank you so much for being with us. Sai Ram.